Welcome to Christ Church Cathedral on this, the evening of the sixth Sunday after Pentecost. The word is very near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart so that you can do it.
Thank you. Presence of God.
from the Gospel according to Mark. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea. Such great crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat there, while the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, "Listen, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seed fell on the path, and the birds came and ate them up. Other seeds fell on rocky ground where they did not have much soil, and they sprang up quickly, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and brought forth grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Let anyone with ears listen."
Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what is sown in the heart. This is what was sown on the path. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet such a person has no root, but endures only for a while, and when trouble or persecution arises on account of the word, that person immediately falls away. As for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the lure of wealth choke the word, and it yields nothing.
But as for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and yields. In one case, 100-fold, in another, 60, and in another, 30.
Today's gospel reading introduces us to one of Jesus' main ways of communicating, in parables. In fact, Matthew chapter 13 contains seven other parables in addition to the one we've just heard. Parables begin in the world of the familiar. Their imagery is drawn not from the religious sphere of temple and synagogue, but from everyday life. Parables involve weeds and trees, seeds, fields, and farmers, sheep, travelers, banquets, brides and grooms, and merchants in search of fine pearls. But despite beginning in the world of the familiar, parables subvert our expectations. They unsettle our preconceived ideas and the values we hold dear. And yet, as New Testament scholar Amy Jill Levine reminds us, the church has a long history of domesticating parables, of robbing them of their potential to surprise, challenge, and even disturb us by viewing them as little more than cute children's stories with nice moralistic messages. Parables cannot be reduced to a single meaning or explanation. They are like music or poetry in that way. We can view them from multiple vantage points, and they speak differently when applied in new and changing circumstances. So there's a danger when preachers interpret parables. We run the risk of limiting their power, of providing safe and easy explanations instead of allowing the congregation to wrestle and struggle with the parables as Jesus intended. In fact, the Gospels suggest that Jesus rarely interpreted his parables and instead invited his listeners to consider them carefully and to reevaluate their own lives, ideas, and values in the process. But what about today's text, which includes both parable and interpretation? According to Matthew, Jesus began telling the crowd a parable involving seeds and a sower. The images of someone scattering seeds almost at random, with some falling on the path, some falling on rocky ground, some falling among thorns, and some falling on good soil. Only those seeds that fall on good soil produce grain, while the others are eaten up by birds, scorched by the sun, or choked out by thorns. And yet the harvest is still overwhelmingly, surprisingly plentiful, with the seeds that fell on good ground producing 30, 60, even 100-fold. For those of us who have spent a lot of time in church, it's almost impossible to hear this parable without its allegorical interpretation in verses 18 through 23 immediately coming to mind. The seeds on the path represent the ones who hear God's word but do not understand it. The seeds on rocky ground represent the ones who receive God's word with joy but who fall away as a result of trouble or persecution. The seeds among the thorns represent those who fall victim to the cares of the world and the lure of wealth. The seeds on good soil, by contrast, are those who hear the word, understand the word, and bear fruit. But most New Testament scholars suggest that this interpretation of the parable was a later addition to the Jesus tradition and represents not Jesus' original interpretation of the parable, but rather the interpretation of a later Christian writer who was seeking to apply the parable to a new context. In this new context, the parable addresses life in the early church and attempts to explain why some initial followers of Jesus have fallen away from the faith. It speaks to challenges confronted by the early church in the form of persecution and the temptation to seek wealth and status. It also makes a distinction between simply hearing God's word and understanding God's word. It makes clear that true understanding isn't just intellectual, but should lead to a life of fruit-bearing discipleship. Matthew's interpretation of the parable urges members of the church to take stock of their own life and to ask whether anything is holding them back from understanding and embracing God's word and living a life of fruit-bearing discipleship. But is this the only way of interpreting the parable? This familiar interpretation of the parable is an important and legitimate one, and this familiar interpretation can speak to us anew in this current moment. But we should remember that a parable cannot be reduced to a single, exclusive interpretation, and it's worth considering how this parable might have been heard when Jesus first spoke it. In order to do that, it's important to recognize that the image of sowing seeds appears elsewhere in the religious literature of Jesus' day. Another text, written just a few decades after the Gospel of Mark, uses language very similar to our parable, but makes a very different point. And here's what it says. "For just as the farmer sows many seeds in the ground and plants a multitude of seedlings, and yet not all that have been sown will come up in due season, and not all that were planted will take root, so also not all that have been sown in the world will be saved." The emphasis in this text is on the limited number of people who will receive God's blessing. It describes a sparse and fairly meager harvest. By contrast, Jesus uses the language of seeds and sowers to describe an abundant harvest, a harvest that comes back 100-fold. A 100-fold harvest is associated with wealth and prosperity in the book of Genesis. When Isaac sows seeds and reaps 100-fold, it's a sign of his wealth and prosperity and of God's blessing on his life. So in light of all that, consider Jesus' parable again, A sower goes out to sow seeds, with some falling on the path, some falling on rocky ground, some falling among thorns, and some falling on good soil. Only those seeds that fall on good soil produce grain, while the others are eaten up by birds, scorched by the sun, or choked out by thorns. And yet, the harvest is still overwhelmingly, surprisingly plentiful, surprisingly abundant, with the seeds that fell on good soil producing 30, 60, even 100-fold. It's likely that this parable was originally intended as a word of encouragement. Jesus called his disciples to share God's word, and yet it didn't often look like God's word was taking root in the world. But in spite of all external appearances to the contrary, God was at work, and there would be a surprising, abundant harvest. Jesus calls his disciples to share God's word. The harvest is in God's hands. So which interpretation is right? Is the parable a challenge and a warning to followers of Jesus about the importance of living a life of fruit-bearing discipleship? Or is it a word of encouragement about God's ability to produce a surprising, abundant harvest, even when it feels like our efforts are failing? I don't think we have to choose. Parables, as we've seen, contain multiple meanings, and these two interpretations are not mutually exclusive. Parables speak differently to different people at different times in their lives. Some of us will need to hear a word of challenge about the importance of living a life of fruit-bearing discipleship, about how important it is not just to hear the word, but to understand it, allowing it to reshape and reorganize our lives according to the way of Jesus. Some of us will need a word of encouragement. We are tempted to despair and need to be reminded of God's faithfulness, of God's ability to bring a 100-fold harvest. In either case, let this parable surprise you. Let it provoke you, challenge you. Amen.
Hear, O Israel,
the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first and the great commandment. The second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these.
My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior.
Have mercy on those who fear you.
you scatter your seed generously. May we be rich soil and receive your gift so freely given, that we may revel in love's abundant, reckless growth through Jesus Christ, the grain of life. Amen. Amen.
Sitting closely together, and be glad of tomorrow has come.
Let us bless the Lord. Alleluia.
Thanks be to God. Alleluia.